I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridgelytics Interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcy Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name or my side project, Midnight Soundtrack, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists. Speaking of which, if you'd like me to produce your next album or song, get in touch. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Marcia Novelli.
Indeed. I love saying it, indeed.
Indubitably, I always say that.
I know. We do the same thing every time.
I know. Jokes like clockwork. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I know.
We're getting old. That's the problem.
We are. Yeah. But yeah, despite that, we are excited to share that we've made some big updates to our Patreon page, and we invite you to become an official patron of the show to help things keep going and growing.
Yeah, I'd say it's significant upgrades. Some perks include early access to content, of course, sponsored ads at the start or end of the shows, as well as your chance to co-host an episode alongside your two favorite co-hosts. Not to mention, we are actually going to be doing a monthly patron-only hangout with everyone who supports us, and we can chat about anything trivial, or we can help you through your next creative endeavor and help you kind of plan some things. We're here to help and we're here to hang, so go check us out on Patreon.
Yeah. And we've also got our official BTA shirts available to purchase, yes, on our website. There's a link to them in our show notes, so go and get them. And make sure to use the coupon code BTARocks. Whether or not you agree with that statement or not, that's the coupon code we have. And that will give you 10% off your purchase as our little way of saying thank you.
Gracias. And lastly, I recently released my brand new acoustic EP, The Reimagining Volume 1, and you can listen to it anywhere you like to download or stream music, and I encourage you to share it freely and spread the love.
So joining us this week is singer-songwriter and frontman of Marcy Playground, John Wozniak. With Marcy Playground, John's released four albums, with their debut album being certified platinum in the US, and the band's 1997 hit Sex and Candy spent 15 weeks at number one on the US Modern Rock Tracks chart.
John continues to write and tour with Marcy Playground, with intimate and interactive shows in Southern Ontario from April 20th to 23rd in celebration of the 20th anniversary of their self-titled album, Just Around the Corner. We're looking forward to hearing about John's experiences in the music industry and the advice he'd offer to his fellow musicians. So, welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
Awesome. Let's just jump right in and get awkward and weird and have you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
I'm a huge, I wanted to say Trekkie, but that's not really, I think I like all science fiction. I love it. And I think it helps my creative process. Particularly, anything fantasy and science fiction related, reading it, watching it, whatever, it doesn't really matter. I just love it. I don't drink alcohol anymore. 3 years ago, I stopped drinking booze.
Nice. Good for you. Neither do I.
Yeah.
And Ross, you don't really drink either, right?
Not much.
We don't not drink, but we don't drink.
It's just like such a part of the business though, right?
Yeah.
And like everywhere you go, it's free and it's everywhere. Right. And so, anyway.
So all three of us are kind of alcohol free. That's cool. I think I have a half glass of wine once a year on New Year's. It's actually my thing.
But that's too much.
By the way, I don't think anybody needs to know that about me. And hey, you know what? I love gear. I'm a gearhead of any kind. I'm just an absolute nut for gear. I have the disease.
So, John, I'd like to kind of go back in time a little bit. Not Doctor Who style, sadly.
Right.
But let's call it a trip down memory lane, I guess.
God, you did not just do that.
Oh, I know, that was so cheesy. Oh, I hate myself. So Marcy Playground were signed to Capitol Records in the 90s. Obviously, quite a bit's changed in the industry since then. I'd be interested to hear, in your own experience, what have been the biggest differences and challenges sort of between now and then, and how have you overcome them?
Well, the biggest differences are the number of independent labels that there are now, and independent networking companies that network to create larger organizational networks. Now, back in the old days, there were, you know, five major labels. I think there's like, what, three now, maybe.
Right. I mean,
there's Universal, Sony, and Warner's. That has created a vacuum sort of in the business for, you know, a lot of independent labels to be able to spring up. And the ones that can network really well and that can create, you know, good organizations, because it's, you know, it's not all in-house anymore. You know, it's not like a record company has their A&R department in-house and their marketing department's in-house. You know, they're farming all this stuff out to other smaller companies and mm-hmm. creating these sort of networks of business associates that are able to accomplish quite a lot. And that I found is probably the biggest difference. That really wasn't the case back in the 90s. In the 90s, you had big labels, and the big labels controlled everything and ran the show.
Does that idea of an independent world seem attractive to you? And is it more attractive or less attractive than the major world?
Much more attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get people who, it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different. I mean, there's benefits to both worlds. Major labels, they have a lot of clout. They've got a lot mm-hmm. of money. They can throw a project at the wall, see if it sticks. If it doesn't, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
But in the process of throwing it against the wall, they can throw a lot of money into it. And if you happen to be that artist and you can step up creatively and you know, in what it is that you're doing, touring and work your ass off, then you might have a shot at something really huge. But, you know, those slots are so few.
Absolutely.
And they're, you know, they're even fewer now because there's only the three majors. I mean, I remember when they used to have, you said Capitol, but initially in 1996 or six, yeah, six, we originally signed to EMI Records in New York. And at the time, they had like 150 labels on the artists on the label. Mm-hmm. I mean, their roster was huge. And then I think it was about 8 months later, they closed. And we were moved over to Capitol. So what ended up happening with that was, I think it might have been like seven or eight active artists that were moved over to Capitol Records. So Capitol had a kind of a small roster, active roster. Of course, there's all these artists that they have that are, you know, catalog artists. But EMI had this massive active roster that everybody got let go. And it just so happened that at that time, we were reacting at radio in San Diego at 91X. And we were like top five phones most requested, like within the first week of the song being played. This is, you know, when Sex and Candy was breaking.
Right, right.
And
20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
I was 12.
Oh, so weird to think about 20 years ago. I was alive 20 years ago? Okay. And so, you know, they were really excited. Capitol was pretty excited about having a band that was reacting at radio in their area, because EMI was in New York, Capitol was in LA.
Right.
San Diego area, they, you know, 91X had a massive transmitter that was like, that plays into the Los Angeles area. So everybody at Capitol was hearing the track. And if they didn't, they had friends who had and were talking about it. So that's why we were, I mean, it was like timing. It was strictly timing, right? Timing that, I mean, because otherwise we thought we had our one shot at EMI and we're going to get, you know, dropped because the label had closed. So so this timing issue became really critical for us. And I don't know if I don't know how many of those are there are. I mean, I guess you can create your own timing. Try.
You could try. Yeah, I guess we often find on the show that the common theme besides following your gut feeling is just noticing an opportunity when it's there.
It's so important.
Going for it. You know,
the two things that are so important are awareness of that, you know, keeping your awareness looking for those opportunities, but also constantly building a network.
Right.
And nurturing it like a garden, because that's where those opportunities are going to come from.
Yeah.
That goes right to D. Grant Smith, right? And his farming. He likes to call it farming. It's totally. A previous guest we had on. So I do want to, I want to shift the conversation a little bit to collaboration, which is something that you're no stranger to. You've collaborated with various musicians in bands in different roles as a producer, co-writer with Jimmy's Chicken Shack and various projects. How important are collaborations to you to help you grow as an artist? You know, and how do you approach them from a creative standpoint differently than maybe working on your own material?
Well, first of all, they're important just as an artist to be able to grow as an artist. If we did this in a vacuum, we'd never expand or grow. I wouldn't, at least. It's interesting. Each time it's different. Let me see if I can think about my collaborations. I've worked with Art Alexakis from Everclear. We wrote a couple songs together.
Yeah, cool.
One of them he was going to release, one of them I was going to release. Haven't done that yet. Great songs. Did the stuff with Jimmy, worked with Holly McNarland, who's Canadian, and worked with a lot of people who, Jordy Birch from Pure. Actually, you know what? He's great. That guy is probably the best collaborations I did with Jordy. He's a Vancouver artist, Pure, and they're a band from the 90s. And that guy just like clicks, something with him clicks with me. And when I get stuck at a part at all, he just somehow magically knows what the next move is musically. And it's time saving. You know, when you can find somebody who you can collaborate with like that, like I think of John Lennon and Paul McCartney and how those guys used to sit in the bathtub with or across from the each other on the beds with their guitars and write all the songs that they wrote. They're, you know, you get this sort of chemistry. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe, I don't know if it develops or if it's just natural. With Jordy and I, it seemed natural.
I think it's natural. I mean, I've collaborated. I've been a solo artist for many years, but, you know, I was in a band in my earlier days. And, you know, I think that I'm almost envious in a way of certain artists that just somehow find the right people to be in a band with, because that is rare. Like, people come and go in bands, but when you get that right chemistry, it's just like, wow. I'll use like Incubus maybe as an example. They're just like, work so perfectly together, that band, you know, or Green Day, or, you know, these certain bands that just can just go and go and go. And there's just something about them that work well together. You know, but at the same time, being a singer-songwriter like yourself, even though you obviously work within Marcy Playground, I think there's an exciting opportunity that I find as well, that you can just collaborate with whoever the hell you want to collaborate with, you know, and that's something that maybe sometimes you don't really get when you're stuck in one kind of, you know, arena, I guess, you know, but being able to work with all these different people, things that would come out of you would never come out otherwise. You know, you get to experience, you get to create. So, I mean, I'm excited by the prospect of collaborating, you know, I think that's amazing that you do that. Now, as a producer, yeah, that's very different. Do you always co-write when you produce, or is that something that sometimes you do, sometimes you don't? Is that something that just, you know?
Typically, no. I mean, I like to encourage the artists to do it themselves because I would rather not get involved in any of the publishing issues. Artists that I produce, I would strictly rather have it be, hey, look, I'm producing this project. Mm-hmm. You know, here's my fee for the project. Mm-hmm. Maybe I get a mix point if I'm going to mix.
Right? Sure.
So that sort of thing. But I would rather avoid a writing situation with an artist that I'm producing. It just gets muddy. Mm-hmm. And typically when I produce, I don't just, I'm the engineer as well. So I'll engineer and produce.
Right.
So, if I'm engineering, producing, collaborating, what am I doing to encourage this artist to improve on their own?
Right. Unless that were your project as well, and that's a different story.
And that's a totally different story. Yeah, if that was the agreement up front, then fine. Yeah. But you know, I think as a producer, part of the job is to work with them to bring out their talent and their writing ability. And for me to say, you know what, that was great, but why don't you go back and give me a couple different, you know, lyrical ideas, different chord progression ideas, you know, let's keep work. You keep working on this. And, you know,
I work the exact same way. When I collaborate with someone else, that's, you know, I'm very involved in everything. Although I get very involved in the arrangement of the song and moving things around, because sometimes I'll hear the song and I'm like, you know what though?
Oh yeah.
We just move this verse here, or, you know, move this here. That's too many chords, or that's too long of an interlude, you know, things like that will get involved, which is kind of, some people will say that crosses the line in the songwriting world.
I disagree.
You know, I don't know what you call it. I call it arranging.
Yeah, I don't. When I think of an arrangement, I think of what George Martin was doing with the Beatles, you know, yeah, when he was arranging string parts and he was, that's arranging.
What do you call that though? Because I can never think of it. It's obviously not composition.
It's editing.
If a producer just kind of sits back, I think, and just like, okay, yeah, you want someone to get in there.
If somebody's hiring me for my expertise, what are they hiring me to do? Just to record it?
Exactly. You're an engineer, just recording engineer.
Yeah, just an engineer.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's production that I'm doing, they expect me to help them to make it commercial. Make it, I mean, otherwise, why are you doing this? You could do, you know, I could make music in my bedroom if I didn't want to sell records or sell songs online or whatever. Sure. So, I mean, if you don't want to be successful at this, then don't come to me, you know, and try and, you know, spend all this money to make a record to, you know, get into the business side of it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, so you know, if I'm listening to their 6-minute epic and going, I have to make a decision, or 10 minutes sometimes, you know, it's like, yeah, that's an awesome outro that lasts 4.5 minutes, you know, I have to make I have to have a conversation with them and say, okay, you can have one or two of these on your album. Totally. Okay. But is this the one?
Right. And you know, it needs to make sense. It can't be long just for the sake of being, just so someone could be like, yeah, we've got a 10-minute epic. It's like, does it make sense?
Right.
You know,
in the context of the whole project, right?
Yeah. And it can. I've heard longer songs before that really work. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Not very rarely. Very rarely.
Yeah. But I mean, if you listen to like Sex and Candy, I think one of the things that makes it a hit is that it's boom, hanging around. It's just instantly right into the song. If you listen to the Beatles songs, all the Beatles kick it off with the chorus. I mean, it's almost to the, you know, starts with a chorus and then breaks down into a verse,
which you don't hear as often anymore.
You don't hear as often anymore. So it hooks you right away. And you know, if I'm working on a production with somebody, they get the final say. It's their record,
right?
And one of my favorite things to say, and I learned this from Ken Joya, who was our engineer on our first couple records, is somebody, you know, really wants something to be a certain way, and I don't think it should be that way. I just do this. Well, it's your record.
Does that work?
Oh yeah, every time they're like, all of a sudden, it sort of shatters the hey man,
that's fine, you'll do it.
Hey, you want to do that?
Your name
you
on it.
Screw it up. It's okay. Fine with me.
You don't have to credit me as producer. That's fine. Oh shit. John, let's have a little fun. Let's are you ready for 20 questions?
All right.
Okay, let's do this. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Twitter or Facebook?
Oh, Facebook, I think, yeah.
Indie or major?
Oh, that depends. Indie, I guess.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Studio or stage?
I gotta go with studio.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Marvel or DC?
MeC.
Digital or analog?
Analog.
Talent or attitude?
Oh, man, those are good. That's a good one. I gotta go with attitude. Attitude will win every time.
It actually is kind of true, isn't it? Style or substance, which is almost similar.
I'm gonna go with on that one substance though. Attitude with substance.
Ah, I like that. I like that combination. Mm-hmm.
Canada or Scotland?
I haven't been to Scotland, so I gotta go with Canada.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
He sounded like a Batman.
Super Batman.
Toronto or Minneapolis?
Oh man. Oh man. That's funny because they're similar.
Are they?
I'm gonna go with Toronto though.
Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Or Michael Bolton.
Yep.
That's the worst. I gotta go with Michael Jackson. Jackson, sure, why not?
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Manson.
Whale or kale?
Whale or kale?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to go with whale just because they're large.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler. Are you sure they're not the same person?
They might be.
They might be.
They might. I think you just discovered it. A lot of people
think that.
Yeah. I think they know. I think they know.
And your final, most important question that you'll be asked in the next 5 seconds. Ross or Marcio?
I can't choose between you two. You're both so fabulous.
Oh, I love when people don't choose. That is the correct answer, by the way. John, that is the correct answer.
So I want to quickly jump in and ask you about your upcoming dates in celebration of your self-titled album's anniversary. Can you tell us where you're playing and what people can expect?
Yeah, I'd have to look at the schedule. We're actually releasing a full schedule of tour dates for this summer. We are doing the dates in Southern Ontario coming up, which are going to be a lot of fun in April. But there's also the band is going to be touring mostly in the U.S., I guess, with Dishwalla and possibly another band. We're not sure who. I mean, I think Fuel was wondering if Fuel was going to come out with us.
Oh, wow.
Because we'd love to have them. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's as far as I understand it, it's currently just us and Dishwalla for June, July, and August. So that's going to be fun. And I want to do a solo record, and I probably also want to record some more stuff for Marcy.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a quick question, actually, just because you said that. How do you differentiate what you bring to Marcy and what you do solo?
Well, it's all been for Marcy so far.
Right. But going forward.
Well.
Is it just kind of a gut feeling? Do you just kind of feel like this is for the band, this is for me?
Yeah, I think what I have to do is I owe it to the band to bring the songs that I write to them first.
Mm-hmm.
And if they reject a song, then that's for me.
That almost implies that like the solo record would be rejects, but I don't think that it is that way. It maybe does it just imply doesn't. That.
They
it
would
doesn't.
Be total rejects.
There you go. Maybe
but
that's
only from my band.
Right, but it's just basically it doesn't work with the band.
Right,
but it's something that you still really passionately want to do, and that's a vehicle for you to release that.
Yeah, and I think that's what would help to differentiate the soloist. I mean, it makes it a little more different. It's a little more personal stuff that maybe the band feels like, you know, Waz, that's kind of, you know, maybe for your solo record.
Right,
not that they don't like it, but
it's just they don't feel like it works with them. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. That actually makes it a lot easier. Do you think that?
And then here it also sort of alleviates the future problem of me having a hit with my solo stuff. And then being pissed off because I didn't bring that to them.
Right. Hey, guys, I brought it to you.
Exactly. They can't say that.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Because you guys obviously have been able to stick together for a very long time. And clearly, just talking to you about that right now, you clearly have a respect for your bandmates. It seems like there's a mutual respect that, you know, because some people might just go about saying, well, screw you guys. I can do whatever the hell I want in any other project. But that's quite beautiful.
We're like family. We're brothers. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
And for artists who are just getting started in their careers, can you tell us maybe one thing you've learned in your career that you would like to pass down to the upcoming musicians today?
This is a social business, and it's a business of people. And so the more people you can network with and know, the better. But just, you know, the other thing I was going to say, as a songwriter and as a creator, I'm often asked, you know, how did you write this? How did you come up with this? You know, where did this idea come from? And a lot of the time I just can't answer that because I think that writing in bulk is a better solution than sitting there and trying to come up with the greatest song I've ever written. When there's 12 songs that need to go on a record, there's around 30 that get written.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is I just get rid of the stuff that sucks.
Right.
You know?
And how do you determine if something sucks? Is it literally, sometimes obviously it's blatant. Are there other times it just doesn't connect?
Yeah, I think that that's an intuitive thing. It's something that you as an artist have to sort of determine for yourself. What, you know, what about this sucks? But don't be focusing on what's great about it when you're trying to get rid of stuff. You know, that's the hardest thing to do. So what I'll do is I'll write a lot. I'll write without thinking. I'll just go, you know, write blam, 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 blurt it out, you know, get it all out, get, you know, 25, 30 songs done. And then it becomes a process of looking at the things that aren't good about the music. And then literally once you stop pulling stuff away, you're left with what doesn't suck. And what doesn't suck is great.
And then of course, do you fine tune that?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. Sometimes, you know, sometimes what comes out first is what you you just leave it. Cause it's
absolutely
great.
Sometimes that's the best because it just came from a place of pure creativity and expression.
That's right. I think there's a channeling of energy as an artist, you know, and we're pulling things constantly from the universe and pulling it out of the air and it's just sort of coming through us. And that I think is a, something to be watched for as well.
Well, when it works, right?
Don't get rid of that stuff.
But anyways, John, where's the best place for people to connect with you online?
Yeah, the best place to get a hold of us is marcyplayground.com.
As for us, when I say us, I mean the show, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit our site and pick up one of our beautiful shirts while you're there.
You almost stumbled on Instagram there because I typed it in there.
I did.
You usually forget to say Instagram. And you're
like,
Twitter, Facebook,
doing?
Instagram.
I was trying so hard not to say iTube and YouTunes again like I did that other time.
Yes.
And I just...
You know, someone's going to come up with iTube and YouTunes. You know that. It's going to be a huge
hit.
Well,
I think someone's going to have a lawsuit on their hands.
Yeah, so. I know. From us.
From us.
And as I mentioned earlier, my brand new acoustic EP, The Reimagining Volume 1, is now available everywhere. I'm also working on my second solo album, and you can be a part of that at marcinovelli.com/pledge. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, as well as Chris Keaton, Joe Centenary, Buck, Naked Soul Company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes. Please check them out because they truly do keep this show alive.
They do, and we love them so much. We love you guys. And if you would like us to love you, please consider sponsoring the show. Visit bridge-the-atlantic.com/sponsors. We recently updated the rewards, which now include sponsorships at the start of our interviews, as well as the opportunity for you to co-host an episode, which will be interesting.
Yes.
You get to see all the ins and outs and everything that goes wrong.
Basically block off 5 hours to co-host the show.
Yep,
with us.
That's about it. Yep, yeah, pretty much. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes as well so you don't miss any episodes. And please do leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
We love hearing from everyone, and this is a collaboration between everyone here that's part of the show and listens. So say hi. And as for John, we're going to say bye. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy. It's been a real pleasure to get to chat with you. That song was nice. When I say that song, I mean Sex and Candy. That was just such a hit 20 years ago and just sparked your career. Definitely was played many times on my old tape deck 20 years ago. And even though I'm sure that 11 or 12-year-old, whatever I was, screaming out Sex and Candy probably was a little strange for people who were listening.
Yeah, I'll jump in. And this is something that I mentioned on our interview with Brendan Brown from Wheatus, but I used to listen to the charts, the UK top 40 charts, and I would write them down every week. So I had a folder full of the top 40. And I remember when your song came out and I heard that it was called Sex and Candy, I was probably 11. And I was like, oh, I can't write that word. It's a bad word. So I actually did S star X and Candy. And I was like, oh, I can't have a bad word.
That's so cute. That's so cute. Well, John, this has honestly been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Marcia. Thanks for us.
Thank you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.